This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In the 1960s, when a young woman named Violet has an accident that leaves her with a disfiguring scar, she sets off on a journey from her home in North Carolina to seek the help of a healing preacher. Along the way, she meets people who help her discover her inner beauty and guide her to an understanding of race in a new era for the American South. That is the premise of the musical Violet, based on a book by celebrated North Carolina author Doris Betts called The Ugliest Pilgrim. Violet is the main stage production in this year's Summer Youth Conservatory at Playmakers Repertory Company. The annual program brings together high school students from across the state for an intensive summer production in Chapel Hill. The show is running through July 31st at the Paul Green Theater at UNC Chapel Hill. But first, the show's director, Matt Steffens, joins me. Welcome back, Matt. Good to talk with you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about this. And let's start with the book, Doris Betts' book, that inspired this.
Yeah, so it's based on The Ugliest Pilgrim by Doris Betts. It was written in 1966, I believe, and was published with several other short stories. And you know, as we know, Doris Betts was a very renowned UNC faculty, and she always explored religious freedom and faith from, I think, a very North Carolina perspective in all of her writings, and does so in this as well. It's set in September 1964, and as you said, Violet gets hit with her father's axe and has this scar that she's trying to get healed. And along the way, she meets two soldiers, one black. His name is Flick. He's played by Precise Baez. And another one, white, Wilson Plunk, who plays Monty. And it's about her interactions with them and how she is opened up to the world. And over the course of the show, she finds, you know, what is courage and what is love. And also putting your faith in something. We all put our faith in something. And what it takes to make your life the best it can be. She really wants a better life.
And that was the genius of Doris Betts, wasn't it? To be able to explore these deepest questions about personal freedom and liberation through questions of the spirit, religion, but also in a very particular political milieu. And so she never lost sight of what was going on in her American South at the time.
Yes, she totally, and I think Violet taps into that, that it never slams you over the head with, you know, we're talking about religion now, but there's always the writing. Janine Tesori and Brian Crawley wrote the musical, and it uses the short novel, the text of it, to really like dissect what it is, but very quickly. And for current audiences, you know, that don't want to sit through a 15-minute scene of talking, it's great because it's just like social media now, where you get it quick and it moves on.
There is a scene in a nightclub that illustrates one of the challenges of working with a young cast. Tell us about that scene and how you had to approach that with this high school cast of yours.
Well, this is my third year working with Playmakers, and we did Hairspray and Guys and Dolls the past 2 years, and those, you know, are great musicals in their own right, but don't deal with the nitty gritty that Violet
Hairspray, no nitty gritty there.
Yeah, that Violet explores, and they go to a club in Memphis in 1964, and it's an interracial club, and Flick, the African American soldier, he has a past with the music hall singer. And at the club, they bring Violet, who is Caucasian. And, you know, to bring a white girl into a black club at that time was very, I guess you might say, risque.
Yeah. And dangerous.
Also,
it was dangerous, right?
Yeah, so it was definitely dangerous. And, you know, they're walking the streets, and like, that's dangerous. And you know, sometimes, especially dealing with younger actors, there are things in life that they haven't just experienced. They haven't experienced, you know, that first time being out at clubs. Like, they're not going to clubs at 18 years old, or hopefully not.
Matt? Well, okay, go ahead.
And
sorry.
So
like, I won't tell him precisely.
Exploring that grittiness of what happens at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, when you've been drinking, and that sexual of tension that happens,
and the transgression politically. I mean, yeah. We just don't feel that. So, well, let's introduce two of the actors right now. Joining me are two of the actors in the production. Ainsley Seeger plays the role of Violet. Ainsley, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having us.
And also Precise Baez, who plays the role of Flick. Hello, Precise.
Hello.
Ainsley, tell me a little bit about what you learned about this. We're talking about having to learn about how dangerous that was for a young woman your age in 1960 to be doing what she was doing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've done a lot of research, you know, for my character, you know, specifically, but like really venturing into the idea of like how kind of just not accepted it was to be seen at this club with someone like Flick. You know, there's one part where, you know, Violet accidentally bumps into Flick, and it's just kind of, if you watch that moment, you know, you can kind of see, like, oh, you know, that's kind of, I think that's the first moment where it's really prevalent in the club scene. That, you know, we can dance together, but we can't touch each other like Monty and Violet can. So I think that moment says a lot, you know, even without words.
I would think, too, for the challenge for a young actor, and again, I think this is a workshop experience, a chance for actors to really understand the craft, what a gift it is to have to explore your own body language and try to communicate with somebody in 1960 who's got an experience that you may never have had.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How did that work for you? Did it change for you? Did you sort of run the scene once? Matt pulls you back and says, you got to understand what was happening in 1960.
I feel like it was kind of clear, because we don't necessarily feel the racism or the hate that people did in the 60s or earlier as black people now. But I think it's still a very real feeling. So it wasn't too hard to conjure the feeling of this shouldn't be happening, because there's certain things that I know I can't do nowadays even that I guess that's
yeah. The racism hasn't changed, but the expressions of it and kind of where the transgressions and the borders are has changed a little bit. But racism,
right?
Is still
and
very
even
much
your previous guest Yasmin, you know, was talking about how these women are being judged, and it's the same thing with Violet and the same thing with their interaction. And we really found with the conservatory students that the prevalent racism in society that they sometimes feel is still there. And so that helped inform some of what 1964 might have been like in the South.
Yeah. Well, Ainsley, I think you're going to sing a song for us, right? Accompanied on the keyboard by the show's music director, Mark Lewis. And maybe I can ask you to set up this song for us.
Yes. Okay. So Alt Pieces takes place, I believe, in the Nashville bus stop. You know, it's kind of like a rest stop. And what happens is, you know, Violet pulls out the magazine that she keeps in her bag, and she starts talking about if she could have anyone else's face or anyone else's, even anyone else's body parts, whose would it be? You know, which of Hollywood's stars at the time, who would she take facial features from and why?
Here we go, Mike.
If I looked in the know with a hint of mystery, like a Brigitte Bardot with a darker history, if I threw you a glance and I let it linger, I could wrap you around my finger. Oh, one of Bardot's. Why should she be stingy? Oh, throw in her toes. I'd give the preacher my mountain for those. I love her all, I love her all, I love her all to pieces. I love her all, I love her all, I love her all to pieces.
Ainsley Seeger, who plays the role of Violet in the play of the same name on stage at the Paul Green Theater at Playmakers Repertory. It runs through July 31st at the theater on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. Wonderful song. But this gets to another one of the central themes in this play, which is this question of inner beauty and who I am. Mm-hmm. Those questions, particularly for women, how they're represented and how they're seen, certainly haven't changed much at all.
Oh,
I'm wondering how you identify with that particular theme in this show.
Well, I definitely think, especially now in this day and age where social media is such a big thing for everyone to have and be very present on, you know, and especially for women, there's a lot of like standards that we're held to. You know, you look at a magazine cover, if you're even in the grocery store and it has pictures of like these half naked women, and you know, it really can get to you. You know, it makes you think like, well, I don't look like that. Should I look like that? Am I supposed to look like that? But you have to remember they're so photoshopped. And I think what's so great about the show is that not wearing makeup, Violet, neither I or the girl playing young Violet, Lily Whittier, neither of us wear any makeup at all, which at first I thought would be this incredibly vulnerable thing, but it just feels very natural. Oh. I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Matt, you've started rehearsals with the full cast working together, and I think you've said you've had some remarkable moments in those times, right?
Yeah, it's been a very emotional process, to be honest, because as we've tried to deal with the issues, I've tried to keep a lightness to it, and to be honest, the last 3 weeks, especially society has been tough, and especially on younger actors, that's even tougher. But they have been an amazing community, and I think that's also what we look forward to bringing in the audience, is that embracing them into a community and lifting them up. I think everyone wants to be part of some community, and it's an amazing community to be part of.
Precisely. While you were in rehearsals, the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, police officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge, all of that happened. How did you react to all of this, and did it change sort of how you related to the cast?
It did, actually. I was actually in rehearsal right after lunch when I saw the Alton Sterling shooting, and immediately it was a massive weight that hit, and I just didn't feel like I could trust anyone. I mean, being a black person, even just being a human, not only with the minority shootings, but there's also like mass shootings of white people, black people, all kinds of people, and that kind of I've always kind of felt kind of like apprehensive about being in like public and those kinds of things. But when the Alton Sterling shooting happened, I felt like I couldn't trust anyone, because of obvious reasons.
But that's the ultimate challenge, right?
Yeah.
For an actor is not to be. How do you go on now? You're going to be in public, and you must be vulnerable to succeed. Well, how did you get yourself through that?
I looked around at the people I was with. I was with my friend Trey, and he held my hand through it, and I looked around at all of my other castmates, Ainsley and Wilson and Thomas and Rosie and all those people who I've grown to love over these past few weeks, and some of them even before that. And it was extremely liberating to be with those people because I just had a sense of home.
We worked real hard to create a safe space and to not run around the issues, and to talk about them, because we knew that they related directly to the story. And to have the support of the Playmaker staff in that has really made it a safe space where we can share.
Exactly.
Well, I know you're going to do another song for us now, again accompanied on the keyboard by the show's music director, Mark Lewis. Matt, maybe you can set this next song up for us.
So this is toward the end of the show when Violet has come back from Tulsa after she has seen the preacher. And this is Flick's last chance to try to convince Violet to stay with him. So it's a pretty wonderful opportunity for love.
Promise me, Violet.
How can I promise?
Like I promised you.
Careful now, Grady.
All I want is you. I've been waiting, scared to lose you, scared my plans would fall.
How will I know you'll never leave?
I've been waiting,
maybe you're the one
for a lifetime,
for
someone simply,
the first one to simply
to look and see me.
Ainsley Seeger and Precise Baez performing Promise Me Violet from the musical Violet on stage now in the Summer Youth Conservatory at Playmakers Repertory Company in Chapel Hill. Matt, tell me a little bit about, again, I think this speaks to the genius of Doris Betts to have written this story that is so relevant today back in 1960. What about the decision to make this a musical, and what was the story of the musical?
So, well, It first became a live action short in 1984, won the Oscar for Best Live Action Short. And then Janine Tesori and Brian Crawley wrote it in 1997 as a two-act show, and they did it off-Broadway. And a couple years ago, Janine Tesori had been working with Sutton Foster, who I often think that Ainsley could be one of the next Sutton Fosters. I love listening. You heard her voice.
No, it's beautiful.
It's lovely to listen to.
Amazing performers and singers.
And yes. She is an actress that I can make a tiny adjustment, and she always makes it. So it's wonderful to work with her. But they decided to do a one-act version of it as a just one-night reading, and they decided to take it to Broadway after that. And it's interesting, if you look at the two-act to the one-act, they went back to Doris Betts's short novel to really see what were the true issues. They had fleshed out some characters that I think didn't stay true to the tone of it. You know, the father from the two-act version to the one-act version changed very dramatically. And I think we all have, you know, father-son or father-daughter relationships. And the father's played by Connor Lewis, and he does a wonderful job of really tapping into that honesty as a 15-year-old, or he might be 16. He's somewhere around there.
Sure.
And he really taps into like that want for your daughter to have everything in life. And it's pretty awesome to watch.
Well, it's great stuff, and we're so happy to have all of you with us today. Matt Steffens is the director and choreographer of Violet. Ainsley Seeger and Precise Baez, two of the actors. Music director Mark Lewis accompanied them on the keyboard. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Violet runs through July 31st at the Paul Green Theater on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. And as always, you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Sheldon Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.